To uttermost part of the earth. Father, we come before you, your presence tonight. Pray that you help me as I continue with this message tonight. I just pray that your spirit will teach us. And I pray, Lord, that my words, your words will become my words. And pray that you guide my mouth and my lips, that I will say things you want me to say. And I pray that the message tonight will be a challenge to us and help us with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said this morning, the Bible says, "For the Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation." And I pointed out three things there. It's the Apostle Paul's conviction about the gospel. It's also that pointed out there that the gospel is a power of God, and also the gospel must be propagated. You know, we need to take the gospel out. That's what the apostle Paul said. And what is the gospel? We talked about that this morning in the Sunday school. The gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the complete sacrifice that God offered to us. For our sin, you know, that we accepted Christ as personal Savior. What he did on the cross of Calvary is his death, his burial, and resurrection. By putting our trust in what he did is our way, you know, to believe what he said. That's the only way we can get to heaven. We can go to heaven. But in here in this verse, the Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, "But he have received power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and into the outermost part of the earth." So what is be a witness here? It's talking about taking the gospel out to this. And I know you all know this. You know, if you look at the Bible map, it's talking about Jerusalem. It's the city of Jerusalem. It's the capital of Judah. You know, the tribe of Judah. And Judah, this is the tribe where the Messiah came, and they said not only Jerusalem, he had to go to Judea, which is a country of Judah, which is the tribe. And then they said he'd go to Samaritans, which is the half-brothers, or the 10 tribes, and then the outermost part of the earth. And it's important because the point that I want to make here tonight is religion is different from relationship. We all for a religion, but we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If anybody that understands a religion or religious, the Apostle Paul do. Because he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, he said, "For I do now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Says verse 14, "For we have heard of my conversation," or the way I live my life, "in the time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above my many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I confer, not with the flesh." The word confer there means consult or have conference. So the Apostle Paul said, when God called me to his work, I didn't ask any help from any man. And I didn't have any conference with man, or I said, "What do you think?" He said, when God called me in this ministry, I consult no man. He's straight up to what God called him to do. So if it's anybody understand what a religious means, the Apostle Paul do. Because he brought up in that religion. The Jewish religion, they think they know God. That's what he did. You know, he's a Pharisee. He's a Pharisee, he's a son of the Pharisee. So people that they learn the scriptures, they understand the scriptures in the Old Testament. He had a religion, but he didn't have a relationship. Paul explained here the difference between a religion and a relationship. He talks about his past. He's a religious man. And then he explained how he became a Christian and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the Epistle of Philippians, he also encouraged the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, which is found faith in Jesus Christ, and warn them of religious teaching and practices, and remind them. His background explained them the difference between a relationship with Christ and a religion. He said in Philippians 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, people that they put him in jail. And he said, "I have no confidence in the flesh." And he said in verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh," he said, "I more." If anybody of you know that thing that he trusts in the flesh, you know what? The Apostle Paul said, "I more. I trust in my flesh more than anybody, any one of you." And he said in verse 5, "Circumcision the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of a Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what thing I came to me, those I counted lost for Christ." He said, all these things that I did in a religious way, in my religion, I did all these things in the Jewish religion. I did all this. I persecuted the Church of God because of my religion, what we believe. They believe Christian is against the law of Moses. He said, "I was circumcised. I was a stock of Israel. I'm a tribe from the tribe of Benjamin, which is the smallest tribe in Israel." He said, "I'm a Hebrew of Hebrew, as touching the law. I'm a Pharisee concerning all these things." But he said, "What things I came, what came to me, I counted lost for Christ." So when Paul penned this epistle to the Romans, he knew exactly what he's talking about. And he experienced life of a religious person without true relationship with Jesus Christ. He said in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." I am here, my conviction when I came to know Jesus Christ, I am not ashamed. He said, because this is the power of God. He knew his situation. He knew who he was. No one can change the Apostle Paul. He was there persecuting Stephen, and he's standing there. People throw things on his feet, their clothes, throw stone at Stephen. He's standing there looking at Stephen. Didn't say anything. But I believe that he was convicted of what that those people did to Stephen. But you know what? The Apostle Paul said here in this verse, when Paul penned his epistle to the Romans, he knew exactly what his conviction. He knew that only the power, the gospel is only the power of God for salvation. He said, "For I am not ashamed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews first and also to the Greek." There are some illustration here, some example here I wanted to look at, you know, to explain more about this. And we'll find that in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. This is the story of Philip. Philip was, when they persecuted the church, they scattered the church abroad, and Stephen went to Samaria, and Stephen had a great ministry. People came to know the Lord, and the healing, they healed people, and They had a great ministry. A lot of people get saved in Samaria. God called Philip to go to the desert. We pick up in verse 26 of chapter 8 and said, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is Derset. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This is a story of a man. He said he went to Jerusalem to worship. This is an Ethiopian man, which is the darkest man. He's come from Ethiopia. He was a servant of Candace, and he's going to Jerusalem to worship. He had a religion. I don't know how long this man's been doing this, to go to Jerusalem, from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship, because that it tells us that he's a Jewish, you know, he's joining the Jewish religion. I don't know if it's a Jew, but he's a Jewish religion because he's going to Jerusalem to worship God. Not only that, he's got a Bible. He's got a Bible. He's going to worship God in Jerusalem, and also he's got a Bible, and he doesn't understand what the Bible says. Why do we know that he's got a Bible? He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And God called Philip and said, go to that man. He's a religious man. He's reading his Bible. He doesn't know what he's reading. You know, sometimes we feel like going to church is the way to go to heaven. You know, it's work. It's all work. We feel like, you know, as long as we have a right Bible, King James Bible. Yeah, Mormons give out King James Bible. They don't even know what is in the King James Bible, but they give it away. It doesn't matter the Bible you read. You know, I'm stressing this. I believe in King James Bible. I only study in King James Bible. But it doesn't matter if you don't read and understand what God says, it is nothing. This Ethiopian eunuch, he's a religious man. He's going to worship in Jerusalem. He's carrying the right Bible. And he's reading the Bible. And he said, and Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you are? He said in verse 30, and Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. He's testified by his mouth. He's reading it. Philip heard him read the book of Isaiah. And Philip ran hither to him and said, he reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understand it thou? Thou readest? And he said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know, it doesn't matter whether you go to church or not. It doesn't matter whether you carry the right Bible or not. If you don't understand the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only way. You need somebody to explain that to you. You need somebody to explain to the world. The world does not know. They think that church is a, you know, going to church is a, Christianity become, you know, is to just go to church. No, you have to go through those steps to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And if you look at that, you know, we pick up in verse 34, Acts chapter 8, and said, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began to, on the same scriptures, the same scripture, the book of Isaiah 53, on the same scripture, and preach unto him, who? Jesus. He began on that, chapter 53. You don't find the name Jesus there in chapter 53 Isaiah. But he picked up that book, and he explained to him, started on Jesus, because that prophecy is all about Jesus. And he started on Jesus. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" We see here that there's three steps here that mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 2. You have to be saved. You have to be baptized. And then the third one is added to the church. And so that's why a lot of people don't understand church. A lot of people in Samoa, they gather people together and they start a church without witness to them, without telling them about the gospel. And they just get, it's like starting a school. You know, they just gather people together until they start a church without any knowledge of the word of God. So we need to know who Jesus is. Religious cannot save us. People need Jesus. Going to church faithfully cannot save us. Having a right Bible cannot save us. Only Jesus saves. The other story here is in chapter 10 of Acts. Excuse me. Acts chapter 10, verse 1, and there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, centurion of the band, called the Italian band, devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up to a memorial before God. And I'll send men to Joppa and call for Simon, Simon, whose surname is Peter, Simon Peter. He lodged with one Simon of the tanner, whose house is at a seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." This man has been praying. He's an Italian man. He's a Gentile man. There must be an Italian man, because he is the centurion. He's a leader of 100 soldiers. And he was praying. And God appeared, the angel of God appeared unto him, and he said, "Your prayer is coming out to heaven." But there's something missing. He said, send somebody to Simon Peter down there to come and explain you what you need to know. Why? You know, we can have a prayerful life. You know, God answers prayers. Answer anybody's prayer. You know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." There are people that they're not really Christian, but they pray to God, and God answers their prayer. They pray to God for salvation. There are people they ask God for miraculous things. I remember when I was little, you know, I grew up in a Methodist church. We used to have a game like a little kids do. They throw stones to birds and try to catch a bird. And kids do all the time. Because there's a tree, a really good tree, nice flowers, and the birds like those flowers. So the kids would go and try to catch a bird. To catch a bird, it's not to catch a bird. You have to throw a stone. You have to catch by stroke, you know, kill a bird. I never kill a bird. And I'm kind of jealous to those kids that they always kill a bird. And I thought, you know, it's kind of peer pressure. He said, if I'm not killing a bird, I'm not one of them. And I remember that I lie down in the tree and I say, "God, if you're really there, give me a bird." I grab a stone, throw it in the air, and there's a bird come right there. You know, I asked God, and I thought, well, sometimes you're surprised when something happened. You didn't even expect it. You just say, "God, if you're real there, God, answer my prayer." God risked the life of a little bird to show me that he was there. He answered my prayer. I wasn't saved at the time, but you know, God answered our prayer when we're saved as well. I remember I told this story many times. We were on our way from New Mexico to Texas, and you know, it was no rain. I was planting a garden, a good big garden in the back of our house, and there was no rain at all. So we went to New Mexico for a meeting, and we drove up, and there was rain all the way, lightning, and get to the border of New Mexico and Texas, it was all dry. And I thought, God, I think my garden probably dead by now. So I went there, all the plants were sad. Remember sitting out there, and one Wednesday night, I was looking at the plants, and I thought, this plant's not going to make it. So I kind of sit down on a chair, put a chair at the back of the thing, and say, God, I know it's all blue up there. It's a little clouds on that side of the east. I know you answer our prayers. But, you know, just give us some rain for these plants. I really want to, you know, I want to these plants. And when you plant a seed, it's like a baby in your jar. You know, you want those plants to grow, and you want them to produce. But looking at plants, it's not going to grow. And I said, God, if you just give me a rain, give us a rain for these plants. I kind of sit down and start closing my eyes and sit down in a chair. The moment I close my eyes, I feel dripping on my lap. I open my eyes. Here comes rain from nowhere. I'm not saying, you know, I'm spiritual, but it's true. So where is this rain come from? Sometimes you pray, you don't even think. But I was praying, God, just give us the rain. You know, God did not give me the rain that I want. But, you know, before I get up and go to church that Wednesday night, I see the glittering of water on those plants. And I thought, you know, God did not give me what I want, but he gave me what I need. I need to trust in him, you know, for his provision. Not what I want. And later on that week, it was pouring. It was pouring. But that not that day. Just God gave me a glimpse of his love, and he tell me, son, I'm here. I'm listening. So Cornelius have that prayer. He prayed to God. The angels of God show up, and they said, you need to go down to Peter. He's there by the beach. He tell him to come and show you what you need to know. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just, you know, prayer is good, but you need to understand the gospel. The third story I want to take your attention is it's on chapter 4. You know the story of the Samaritan woman. This is a Samaritan woman, is a half Jew. She was in the well, and then Jesus came over to the well. And you don't know the story. The woman claimed that she's a daughter of Jacob. Jesus said, if I give you this water, you know, you will never thirst again. I want you to read, you know, you can read it yourself, the whole chapter. But this is a conversation that Jesus said, if I give you this water, you're not going to thirst again. And the woman said, are you greater than our father Jacob? She claimed Jacob as her father, which is, you know, Samaritan's half. They said, are you greater than our father Jacob that give us this well? And Jesus said, Jesus picked a common crowd. That well is belong to Jacob. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. Samaritan woman is from one of the 10 tribes of Israel. And they used the well as a common crown. And Jesus said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. And a woman, they said, are you greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus said, go get your husband. And the woman said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you have five husbands. The one that you're staying with, you know, staying with now is not your husband. And the lady said, the woman said, I thank you, you're God. I'm paraphrasing the chapter. I thank you, God, your prophet. And Jesus said, I know the woman said, where should we worship? You said in Jerusalem you worship God. But in this mountain, you said in this mountain you worship God. Jesus said neither. Neither in there or here you worship God. Those who worship God, I think it's verse 20. Those who worship God in spirit and in truth. He said, those who worship God in spirit and in truth. And a woman accepted Christ as her Savior. I said, I know you are Messiah. Jesus told her, and she went out and tell the Samaritans to come and hear Jesus. You know, to say all that, there are four examples here I'm bringing here. The religious people, they believe that they go into church. They are daughters of Jacob. They believe that they are religious people. They know God, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I was that person. But when I came to know the Lord, I forsake all. Everywhere the mission field here in America and overseas, people need the Lord. It doesn't matter how they act, what they say, and what they know. If it without Christ, it is our duty and our responsibility to give that given to us by God. When you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, to tell someone about Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's why God, Jesus commanded us to go, not only in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in the Samaria, and also in the outermost part of the world. You know, there's something here I can finish with this. There are three examples here that Jesus, I brought it out tonight. You know, the Ethiopian man is a black man. The centurion man is a white man. He's an Italian. Samaritan woman, she's Jewish. She's not white. She's not black. You know the color to choose if we're going to race. But you know what? All these colors come to common ground to become have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. None of them, you know, went to their own ways to get a way to heaven. They all come into the common ground of accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. All these things that people, you know, fighting over, they say that it's sin. It's not sin. They say it's a skin color. It's not a skin color, it's sin. It's sin in our lives, in our lives. People say it's race. It's not race. People need the grace of God. You know, we all come into the one common crown. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we have a relationship with God. It says, instead of a religion. So those two things is totally different. Religion is different from a relationship. You're not going to church. You're not going to heaven by religion. You're going to heaven when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm hoping tonight, and also those people that will hear this message, that understand that going to heaven is not by a religion. It's by a relationship with Jesus Christ. I went to door knocking. A lot of times I told people, you know, because some people said, I'm going to this church. And I usually ask the question, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? I say, yes, I'm a member of such and such church. And I said, I'm a member of this church, Baptist church, but I'm not going to heaven by my Baptist church. Because no one's going to heaven by a name of a church. I'm going to heaven because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I trusted him as my personal Savior. I put my faith in his death, his burial, and the resurrection. It's the only way that we can go to heaven. So I'm hoping tonight we'll have that confidence in us that we put our trust in him, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Be blessed.